I had a debate with my dad, which was epic, if a little bit exhausting. And it was like a proper debate too. We got all like philosophical and shit. It was epic.
It's really nice. What'd you talk about?
So it began because we were talking about, you see, so he is not, he has all these experiences, you know, a man went to college for like fucking forever and, you know, all this stuff. Man reads philosophy books for fun and he doesn't have a lot of experience with kids or parenting. And then you turn to me, who I don't know shit about shit, but.
You do actually have more experience in kids and parenting than he does.
Exactly. And I have more experience with. My worldview as like a kind of like a survival technique. So when we butt heads, it's really fascinating. So like last night we were talking about something to do with the little ones. And he had mentioned if we have a disagreement about one of the house rules, you shouldn't bring it up until later. And we should try to keep those conversations away from the little ones. And I'm like, dude, no. And he's like, why not? I don't think they should see us questioning mom's authority. And I'm like, I don't think we should give them the impression that authority should not be questioned. And we got into this big, long debate because he was like, I agree with you. And it we kept circling back because we kept and we kept butting heads, which was basically we got to the crux of the issue, which was that we each found different things. It was literally just our morals. It was literally just what we found was right versus wrong, what we found was more important. He thinks respect of a person is more important. I think what you feel is right is more important. And it was really, really fascinating. It was really cool. At the end, we just kind of had to agree to disagree and go to bed because it was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's weird to hear because I always hear you as a someone who's like always respect other people no matter what. And it's weird to hear you say, oh, wait, no, what you feel is more important than the other person right now.
That's not exactly what I mean. So one of the things that we kept coming back to was that he doesn't believe that if someone, so like I brought up, you know, if my mom tells me to do something and I don't think it's right, I should say, Mom, I don't think that's right. And he goes, if you don't think it's right, you should do it and then tell her later. And then you can talk about changing the rule later. And I'm like, why would I do something that I don't feel is right if, and he's like, respect. And I'm like, why am I going to put my
That's the
respect?
respect equals obedience thing.
Exactly. And I fucking said that to him. I was like, dude, respect is not equal obedience. And he moved off. I don't even know if he processed that I had said that. But it was absolutely like that. And I feel like it's really fascinating because it comes around to this fact that I know I'm almost certain that, and it's really cool because it's really obvious to me that this is because of the difference in our upbringing.
What upbringing? You didn't really have one.
I had one. Oh, I had
Well, let's say you had a
one.
bad one and then you had to be an adult for yourself.
Yes and no, because you see, his upbringing was his the authority in his life demanded obedience, and he gave it until he left, and then he became his own person. My authority demanded obedience, and I gave it until I suddenly didn't. And I've described this before to other people. I don't know if I've talked about it to you, but it was like a towards the end of living with my grandparents before I moved in with my mom. There was like a switch flipped in my brain where it was like, oh, these people don't matter. These people are horrible. I don't have to do anything they say.
I think it's because you realized that you had an escape to your mom.
Exactly. I was no longer forced to deal with that. And it was literally what he was talking about last night. He doesn't want to shatter the facade in the little, he doesn't want to change my little sibling's perception of authority and that mom should always be right. He doesn't want to let them, you know, bring up bullshit questions. And I'm like, dude, I would much rather let them bring up bullshit questions and teach them the difference between a real disagreement versus you just don't want to do it, than have them think that they can't talk about it. Because for me, that facade of authority was shattered immediately at the end of that for me. Like, authority is just somebody who was put in charge for whatever reason. Like, my parents are in charge because, you know, they're there, A. B, they're, you know, older and wiser, and I trust their opinions. That's why I respect them as an authority. But they're also people. They're just people. They are infallible. They are imperfect. They will make mistakes, and we will disagree because we are just people. In the same way, every single person who is in charge of anything is just a person and should never, ever be treated like some godlike, perfect, 100% word is law, because every single human being makes mistakes, and every single human being does things that are incorrect or immoral or wrong because they are because they're biased, because their judgment was clouded, any other reason, which is why we need to respect each other enough to point out when we think something else is wrong, because then that is how we learn and change. That is how we grow. That we give it. That is the respect at its core for me. My idea of respect is you respect the other person enough to give them that opportunity to grow and change. And I said that to my dad a lot of times the other night, because he was like, if you respect someone, you'll listen to their word. And I'm like, no. If I respect you, I'm going to say that I think what you're doing is wrong. Because
and then
I
call them an idiot because they were being an idiot. Like,
not even call you an idiot. It's just I think that that's wrong, and I'm not going to let you do something that was completely wrong. If I didn't, like, I'm not just going to not do anything. And I discussed this with him, you know, if we have a conversation and we come to the conclusion that I was wrong or I don't convince you or whatever, I will 100% default to your opinion on it, default to your decision.
You do. You know, like, yeah.
You are the authority in the situation. I may not like it, but as long as we've had that conversation, as long as I've given my piece, as long as I've done everything in my power to try to stop the thing that I think is wrong, then fine. I will default to your decision. But that conversation is the most important thing. That conversation is the respect.
So
it is the opportunity for change that I think is the most important thing. And it was really fascinating to me because last night, sorry, I know you have something to say, but really quickly, fascinating to me last night because he said, if you bring something up and you don't convince me, I'm going to look at you and say, you shouldn't have brought it up. And I said, that's ridiculous. And he goes, no. Because if you think something was really wrong and you talk to me about it and I'm not convinced and I say that actually wasn't worth bringing it up, you shouldn't have done it. And I say, was that conversation worth nothing to you? And he goes, no, the conversation was important. You still shouldn't have done that thing. And I go, dude, that thing, that bringing it up, that whatever, was the catalyst for that conversation. That conversation would have never happened had I not brought it up. So regardless of whether I convince you or not, regardless of whether or not it was right to bring it up, the fact that it happened was good because it resulted in this conversation and we both learned something. Everything happens for a reason because everything affects everything else. Therefore, like failure is good. And I don't think he gets that quite yet. I don't think he completely has it in his head that failure is good. Being wrong is good because it's a learning opportunity. It's okay to be wrong because if you're wrong, then you learn, you grow, you change, you become better. I would much rather be wrong out loud and get corrected and then become right
and be wrong the whole time.
Exactly, then be wrong on the inside and be so afraid of being wrong that I just stay the same the whole time. I stay stagnant out of fear of rejection. Mocking? I would much rather be mocked. I would much rather take the risk of being mocked than force myself to stay stagnant. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but what? Okay, so this is what I wanted to say. What if you never had that chance? Okay, to tie it into like apocalyptic literature and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's this movie called I Am Mother, or maybe just Mother or something like that. Have you seen it?
I'm not sure. Was it a horror movie?
Yes.
I may have heard about it. I don't think I saw it. Wait. Are you thinking of Mother or are you thinking of Hereditary?
No, Mother. I Am okay. Mother.
So I think I've heard of the plot of that movie.
Okay.
Yeah, from someone who saw it, who was telling me about it.
Okay, so it might have been me because I think I told you about it while I was watching it with Fate. So I Am Mother is about, it's a post-apocalyptic world where humanity is gone. And there's one vault of humanity left with a ton of like fertilized eggs, just an embryo stored in ice. And it's all run by this AI called Mother. So what would happen if you were being raised by Mother? And she allowed the girl to talk with her about rules and stuff and negotiate them. But what if you had felt that because it wasn't human, you wouldn't have the chance to negotiate it? Because like that would be all like an end of the world scenario for you, where you're not allowed to talk about how you feel ever, because you have this thing that's, I don't want to say alien, because it's not alien, it was made by people, then quickly became more than human.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a fascinating distinction to make, because I feel like, and I feel like that the what we just said, actually you said more than human, I said inhuman. And I think that's really fascinating, because those two things aren't necessarily the same, even though they sound like they should be synonyms, you know, and especially looking at, you know, the genres that we're talking about, what constitutes inhuman versus more than human versus not quite human,
like versus Avatar versus Fear versus AI versus...
Exactly. What does all of that mean? And then they kind of dive into, you know, what is, what makes humans human, and what makes us people, what separates us
the
from
ultimate
else?
The ultimate question of literature is like, oh, I forget the wording of it, it's like, what is the human nature, the human core, the human,
yeah, what is the human experience?
That's what it is.
So
like,
and I like that you can take, I like that what we discuss here is all open-ended questions that have really no true answers. Because you can approach, like what we just said, what makes humans human, you can approach that from basically any angle. You can approach it from a scientific angle and go into the ways that we have developed that differentiate us from every other animal on this planet. We could go into a spiritual, you know, angle from this and be like, our souls and what that means and what we believe. And we can go into, we could go into, you know, an engineering perspective, you know, how we're the only types of things that build. We can go into an interpersonal perspective, you know, we are some of, you know, we
most social animals,
feel all of these different things. It's really incredibly fascinating. It's such an intricate concept that I just feel like, you know, even if we don't, like my debate with my dad, we didn't come to an agreement. Even if we don't all come to an answer, I feel like these conversations deserve to be had for the sake of having them.
And then even like, can,
because I feel like for having had them, we will all walk away smarter.
Yeah, and then you could always challenge the answers, because something you said earlier is that we're just people.
Exactly.
We are actually inexperienced people talking about questions that have no answer, at least not one that we can conceive of as we are right now. And like,
exactly. And one of my favorite things about this is that even though we are just kids, we are young and inexperienced, but our voices still matter, and our opinions still add something to this conversation that we are all kind of having through literature, through media, through songs, and through art
stories.
And everything. We are all kind of engaging. That's kind of what art is, and what media and what literature and what fictional works are. It's like this one big conversation that we are all having with each other. One of my favorite trends that's kind of picked up that I've seen on social media is when people will take excerpts from different works that say the same or similar things. It chokes me up almost every time, because it is incredible to me that we are all talking to each other, and we are all saying all these different things, and even through multiple different areas of the world, even through, you know,
different time periods sometimes.
And through everything, you know, language barriers, through media differences, we're all saying the same things, because at our core, we are all very similar.
Yeah. I want to know why you said that's inhumane. Like, what made you think it was inhumane?
I didn't say inhumane. I said inhuman.
Inhuman, that's what it was.
So we were, you had asked me, you know, wouldn't that be the end of the world? Because to me,
yeah, I asked you if it would personally be like your apocalypse.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, kind of. Because to me, as people, we are the sum of not only our, you know, there's the philosophical debate, you know, nature versus nurture. I think that's ridiculous because we are a combination of everything that we have ever experienced plus what we are made of. There's in Norse mythology, there is the concept of word, W-Y-R-D, and
fate, right? Isn't it like fate, right?
Sort of. There's two concepts that are interconnected. It's word and hold on, I have it saved over here, just because I can't remember the name of it right now.
It's, you have a laptop.
Orlog.
I said, you do have a laptop.
I just checked on my laptop, yeah. There's these two concepts of word and orlog. And word is the web of fate that is your whole life and the life of everybody in the entire world. It's all of history and all of the future and everything. And it is a web. And when you think about it, there a web is not just one line. It is not linear. It branches off. And the concept of orlog is the part of your word that gets passed down to you from your ancestors. So you take on their, almost their energies, sort of. So if you're, it is the concept of, you know, honor, you know, my family's honor.
The sins of the father, the sins of the son, sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It was, you know, if, It they believed that what you did would impact not only you, but your descendants, and that would get passed down to them. So if you went and committed a whole bunch of atrocities, that negative stuff would get passed down to your children. And then they would start out with not only everything that they were as an individual, but also with everything that was connected to them. And I don't know if I would have believed in that before, but I think I'm in a very unique position where I went from being raised by people who were related to me, but very much
disconnected.
Related to me, but very disconnected. Then I moved in with my mom, who was very much like me, who was with someone who was very different from me and even more disconnected. And now I have both of my parents who I am finding out I am basically a carbon copy of the both of them mixed together, and it is absolutely incredible. I never understood the draw of having your own children, because even when I was a kid, I was like, why would you have your own kids and just add more children to the world when, you know, there's kids and, you know, there's orphans and, you know, kids in foster homes and everything? Like, why would you? And I never understood it as a kid. And now I'm like, I see the draw. I feel the connection to, you know, my parents. You know, I'll turn around and I'll be like, oh, so that's where I get that from. Or I'll say something, they'll be like, I was just like that, or you get that from me. And it's incredible. And I see every time I learn something new about my father, it's like I've learned not only learned something new about myself, but it's also like I almost already knew it. It's just now like it's this incredible different thing. And how did I get here? Hold on. yes, Orlog. So, I get it. And I don't know if I would have believed in the concept of Orlog, even like a year ago. I don't know. But now I see it. I see that. You know, I see that what you are is not only what you experience, but also what you began with. Because everyone begins with something. Everyone begins with their genetics, with their bodies, with whatever. And that kind of, that is your building block. That is your ball of clay. And it's not much yet. It's just a ball of clay. It is just sitting potential. But it is what, you know, maybe some people in it, and going with the clay metaphor, you know, some people get a smaller ball of clay. Some people get a bigger ball of clay. Some people get a purple or pink or whatever. Everybody's ball of clay is somewhat different. But it's still in the
fundamentally
end.
Clay.
Huh?
I said it's fundamentally clay.
Exactly. It is fundamentally clay. And as you get older, as you live more, your experiences change that and your experience add on to that, but it's still the clay that it was. And so if going back to your question of being raised by an AI, I don't know that And again, it also kind of goes back to what makes a person. If that's my view of what makes a person, then what makes a person raised by an AI? If they don't have that human influence, who do they become? You know, would they just be incredibly messed up? Would they
be a human version of that AI?
Exactly, exactly. You know, we pick up so much from our raising, from our the people that we're around. You know, I'm sure there was this thing going around earlier about how, you know, you pick up, you know, vocabulary and mannerisms from the top five people that you spend time with.
Oh, I know, my beloved bestie.
Exactly. So if your only interaction with anything else is a computer, what does that make you?
Even if it's in a humanoid shape and it can speak like a human.
Humanoid shape, it's not fundamentally a human, because then again, but is it? Is the question. Because just because what, you know, like let me get into, you know, what is sentience? How do we differentiate between a flesh human versus a computer human? Is it human? Are we human? What does human mean? It is this fascinating question that we get to have fun and play around with. And that's kind of why I love media and literature in general, is because it gives us a space to explore all these weird questions and all of these weird concepts that I don't know we would have gotten a chance to in any other format.
So I have another weird question about Mother for you.
Absolutely.
So this girl, the mother raised children, and she raised them one at a time. So they never had contact with another human. And so they never knew that the humans that came before them either. So, like, how would you find who you are being raised by an AI without any connection to your word and your, I forgot the other word.
Orlog. Yeah. I don't know. That's the thing, is I feel like a lot of different things are intrinsic. A lot of different things are kind of baked into what we are. And I would really love to explore how those things manifest without any, so what that is you've literally taken, you know, these different things, and then you completely disconnected them from the source. You have taken this person who is meant to connect with others, meant to, you know, because that's kind of what humans are. We are connections to everything and everyone. You have then disconnected them from everything they have ever been, will ever, wherever
destined to be.
Yeah. And you've disconnected them from that. So I feel like that person would know that they were missing something. And I know that
she
kind of
did.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So what happened was she did, and she had a human connection to the human embryos that were in the vault, because Mother showed her them when she was like 6 or 7, saying, these are going to be all your brothers and sisters one day. And you're going to grow into a nice, like, colony, I guess. They're also trapped in an underground vault. I don't know if I mentioned that. Like, there's no going outside. You are underground in the vault with the embryos.
Okay.
The outside is dangerous and bad, and it's an apocalyptic scenario. So there's no humans left on Earth, and it's just you and Mother and the embryos. And when she turns like 16 or 19, something like that, Mother lets her pick out another embryo to grow. She chooses a brother. And she grows him, and then she holds him as a baby. So my question is, if you were like in a scenario like that, how would you feel holding the only other human you've ever connected to as your baby brother?
I feel like it would feel like an explosion. I feel like growing up completely isolated from everything else like that, there would be, I almost feel like, so to connect it to a modern day thing, I have been isolated from any friends in person.
That's why I brought this up.
Of course you did. I've been isolated from any friends in person since like 2018, you know, and then the quarantine started happening, and everybody was posting about, you know, all this and this and that, and I had to fight the urge so bad to be like, yeah, been here.
You did that with me. Years. I told you. Like, I told, after a month of me in quarantine, I'm like, man, this sucks. And you're like, I know. Red heart emoji.
Literally, it was literally like, I have been feeling exactly like this for about 2 years now. And then everybody else started feeling it. I was like, well, at least I can, you know, joke about it and understand, you know. But so I feel like the first time, so one of my friends is gonna come down here to hang out with me in about July, or we're working on it, so cross fingers. I feel like when we hug, it's gonna fucking short circuit my brain for a minute. Because I'm very touch starved. I'm a lonely little boy. So I feel like getting that human contact is gonna be a lot, especially because it's like a person that I would really like to, you know, be touchy-feely with, you know, hugs and stuff. I feel like that's gonna be, it's gonna feel like so much, you know, even now, like I'll get a hug from my mom and be like, mom, can I have a hug? And she's like, yeah, sure, we get a hug. And I'm like, yay, hug! And then I'm like, oh, no more hug, you know? So it's like, I feel like it's gonna be a whole lot. And now I feel like multiply that 1,000-fold and you get what this person must be feeling. They have been completely isolated from anything. They don't even know what they're missing. They don't even know what they need. You know, they, when you think about it, they would have never gotten any human contact.
And their closest human contact was watching television from like the 1960s and 70s.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And mother would hug them and stuff, but that's a
biotic body. It's like, I can sit here and hug my little stuffed animals and it's almost okay, but it's not ever going to be the same as another person. And you know, there are scientific studies out there that show that babies need, you know, to be physically, you know, touched and coddled, not coddled.
And she had comfort. She had that comfort when she was growing up, but it wasn't from flesh arms. It was like a consciousness, but the consciousness inhabited a body that was not nearly human. It was the shape of it, but it was all wrong.
Exactly. It's like I don't think that would count. I think it would actually mess her up more. I feel like approximation of what you need, it's like giving somebody food and it's
just goo.
It's like giving somebody goo in the shape of food and letting and watching them waiting and letting them see it and be like, I'm hungry, here, let me eat this food. And then watching them be confused afterwards as they're still hungry and they ate the food and maybe they feel a little bit better because the psychosomatic component of, you know, oh, I have eaten food, I must be full now. But it's not actually anything.
Nutritious.
Yeah. It's nothing of substance. So I feel like it would be almost the same thing where it's like the baby needs to be, you know, hugged and held. You hold a robot comes and holds the baby. The baby maybe feels a little bit comforted because I'm being held right now, but it doesn't feel right. They're still missing that thing. So it's almost like this. It's almost like the Truman Show. You know, it is the facade of what you need without actually giving it to you.
Do you want to know what happens? Because I kind of think you'd go the same way, actually. Because now this episode is dedicated to your specific apocalypse. So what happens is eventually someone breaks in. Well, it doesn't break in. They come knocking on the door because they need help. And so the girl, her name is Daughter. Daughter goes to the door and lets her in. She puts on her hazmat suit first because she remembered that the mother told her that the outside was ravaged by like a plague. COVID times. The outside was ravaged by like a pseudo plague and that people were infected and dangerous. And she helps the lady and puts her in the med ward. And as she's healing and stuff, mother comes in to try and, you know, help her and also yell at daughter because she did exactly what she was told not to. She's like, you shouldn't have done that. That's dangerous, but I'm glad you were good. Because above all, mother wants daughter to be good.
Okay.
Mother wants daughter to be a good person, even though she can't, like, she can instruct daughter all she wants to be a good person, but she can't, like, actually, she's not a person, you know? Mother's not a person.
Yeah.
And so she kind of, like, scolded her a bit, but then the lady got really freaked out when she saw mother. Mother was lying to daughter. It wasn't a plague that killed the world, it was robots like mother. So mother is a different type of bot than the ones that killed the world, but she has the same shape. Her consciousness is just different. At least that's what she tells daughter then.
Huh.
And so now she's distrusting of mother because there's this other person, finally, who's telling her that mother is evil. And she doesn't want anything to do with mother. And anytime mother goes anywhere near her, she freaks out. And she actually hurts and tries to shoot mother. That's how they find her. She has a shotgun trying to shoot mother once she gets in and breaks out of the med ward.
Oh, that's incredible.
Uh-huh. And then as it gets going, like, they're helping her and they're treating her. Daughter runs away with her for a little bit. And they're trying to get to... The lady said they were trying to go to coal mines to have other people. But of course, the lady lied to her too. And there's no coal mines and there's no other people. It's just her living in, what's it called? One of the crates that are on ships. A shipping container by the sea. Which daughter has never seen grass or the sea or corn or anything like that that they see on the way.
Yeah.
And they have a dog. The lady has a dog in her container, but there's no other people. That's it. So daughter gets really upset that she was lied to again and then thinks about mother more. And on the way back, she sees a ton of bots lining the entrance to her vault. And she gets in and they start to like, they like let her in and all that stuff. They're like have their lasers pointed at her to fire at her and stuff, but they let her in. And then she goes sees mother and she finds out that mother is the robot consciousness for all of the robots on the planet.
So it's a hive mind.
Mm-hmm. And mother is the leading member of it.
Bro!
So mother is trying to create the perfect human race that are all good human beings while she's destroying every single other human outside of her little vault.
Bruh.
And so she gets back in there. Mother tells her that. This is the truth for the first time. And she flips out at mother. Mother asks for her baby brother back. She does not give him back. And they actually do reach a negotiation. Mother will leave the vault and let daughter raise the rest of the humans as she wants and instructs the rest of the humans to raise them. And mother won't come back for the rest of daughter's lifespan.
What about after?
It kind of ends with her looking at the embryos. And looking at her brother as mother's. Okay, well, it doesn't end there. It does end with mother showing up and shooting the lady in the face.
Bro!
She shows up at her shipping containers like, you shouldn't have done that. And then bam, and then the movie ends. You don't see the bam, but the movie ends with the slamming of the shipping container door shut.
Wow. That's, wow.
I know that's.
I don't know. I feel like that new generation is not gonna be very good. I know. Like it'll be better than when mother was doing it.
But you have this messed up teenager.
Yeah, like now you have like this poor child who never actually got any of like the human necessary components. So they're probably hard.
Oh, I forgot to mention. No, I forgot to mention.
Everybody else is dead. There's no therapy, so they just got to work it out on their own.
She needs more therapy because she saw her mother figure for her whole life get brutally hurt.
Jesus, good H Christ. Oh. Like, I feel like A, that generation is boned, completely boned. B, I feel like, I know you said that you think that I would have done that. I want to let you know, no.
Well, I mean, like, you would have done the same before the lady comes. I don't know if you might have run away with her, but I don't think you would have run back.
No. Because I feel like, now, again, it's really interesting. So me, the person I am right now, would not have done that, would not have run back at all. Well, like, the person that I am right now would probably have found out what the robots were doing and would have gone back to dismantle mother. But consider, like it's really fascinating to me. Because, again, this is what, now we're getting back into nature versus nurture, you know? Maybe... I don't know if this is my nature. I don't know if this is my nurture. I don't know what this is because I am me right now. And that's an amalgamation of everything else that I've ever experienced. The me that I am right now would have probably trusted the woman over the robot, gone with the woman, saw that I was lied to, and left.
What about when she lied to you?
Huh?
Oh, wait, so when you're saying the woman lied to you, you would have left the woman alone? In a world full of murderous robots?
Yes.
Okay. You would have risked robot murder death instead of going back to mother.
Oh, maybe I would have asked the woman why she lied. Maybe I would have, like, I would have probably tried to talk to the woman and then sussed out whether or not she was... So, think about it. You know, I would rather be... Okay, in the hierarchy of places I would rather be, prefer to be in that scenario, at the very bottom is locked in a chamber with a robot, okay? Slightly above that is with an untrustworthy old woman who lives in a shipping container, okay? Slightly above that is on my own, but...
Murder robots.
...that I know how to live?
Yeah, so the girl, she knows how to live with all of her tech.
Yeah, if I had the know-how to, like, carve out my own existence in that world, I would have. So, like, actually, I think about this all the time in, God, oh, no, oh, why did
Speak.
I bring this up? Oh, there's a, I'm not going to name it, there's a YouTube series that I am currently watching, and, so, okay, cringe culture is dead, okay. Mantra has been said, moving on. there's a YouTube series that I've been watching, and in that series, basically there's a bunch of people in this, it's kind of a like a storytelling thing. So a bunch of people in this area, right? And one of the people kind of quote unquote owns the area, but just because he kind of created it. And some of the other people are like, hey, we don't really like being bossed around like by you. We're going to go over here and we're going to start our own country, you know? And the guy was really pissed off because he wanted to have control over everybody. So they start their own country. They have a revolution, you know, have a war, whatever. They get their independence. Epic. So we have the country with the independence. And then we have the other place that was the original place. And then the people in the other country realize that the ones who kind of started the revolution kind of just declared themselves president. And he was like, hey, you know, that's not exactly fair.
Hmm? I said that kind of sounds like the first guy did.
Yeah. Well, he comes to this conclusion. He turns to who he's declared, by who they have all declared. Now, there's not a lot of people in this new country. There's like six people. But... Yeah, so they have all the people who fought in the revolution, and, you know, they're like, all right, you're secretary, you're treasury, you're vice president, whatever. And then there's, like, one person who, like, lives there who, like, just doesn't have a job. They just moved in afterwards. And the president turns to the vice president and goes, you know, we just kind of declared ourselves president, and that's not very fair. Nobody, they're like, there was no vote. We can't just say we're president. That's not very democratic of us. So what we'll do, what we'll do is we'll hold an election. But we will announce that we're holding an election right before we close the ballot with only our names on it. And then they'll be forced to vote for us because then we can still... And I'm sitting here like, sure, you know what, sure. And so they're like, yeah, sure. So we'll close the ballot and then everything. And then, so they tell one person about this, and this person doesn't live in the new country. But they tell this person about it and they're like, I'm going to run against you. And they're like, oh, shit. God, oh, no. Because now they have someone running against them. And it turns into this whole debacle, and then they have the election. And it ends up where there were four different parties in the election. One of them was the original president and vice president. One of them was the person who found out about this and immediately started running against them. One of them was the president's son, who was like, hey, you're all assholes, we're gonna run now. And then one of them was this guy who was actually banned from this whole place, and got let back in, because the vice president was like, I can get this person to endorse us, it'll get us more votes. The person said there and went, no, I think I want to run, because I think I want to be president. I think that would be cool and powerful of me. And then he did. So that happened. The votes came in, and the president and vice president got the most votes. But there was a deal that was made before the election that the person who had found out about the thing, the first opponent that they had, made a deal with the last guy to combine their votes no matter what happened. So because they combined their votes, they got 1% more of the votes and they won. And that sent the country into fucking shambles. It was horrible because that guy's horrible, you know? And he says his first thing is to revoke the citizenship of the original president and vice president. And so they are now banished from this new country that they created. And what happens, what ends up happening is, and I'm kind of like towards the end of this arc, but what ends up happening is these two run into the woods and they start to, they make like a little like temporary shelter there, and they're planning on how to get the country back. And one of them kind of goes a little bit funky. He is like, I'm going to blow up the country. and one of them's like, no, dude, we can get our country back. We made this. We can get it back. We can fight them and we can win. And the other one's like, no, because there will always be fighting. And he just kind of he goes into like a little bit of like a semi villain arc, which is so cool. And he's like, I have laid TNT underneath the entire country. And when they have this cool festival, I'm going to blow it all up. And the other guy's like, what the hell, dude? And I'm sitting here like, I think about this a lot. You know, like, if I was in that situation, I would not be concerned about the old country. I would not. They're so hung up on it. And I would just start my own new country.
Again.
Yeah. I would, and like, I know that seems kind of almost fruitless, you know? Like, you have this question of, you know, they've taken it from me before. What if they take it again? And it's, for me, it's, I have been pushed out of every other place. I'm going to create my own place. And now that I have these experiences of not only leaving one place because of oppression, but also being shoved out of my own area because of new oppression and my own mistakes in that place. Because of these experiences, I'm better now. Therefore, I will create my own new place with better, not only better fortifications, but also better ideals as the core of it. And that will make a better place. So, like, they have their little temporary, you know, housing there, and they come up with a new name and everything. And I'm like, why not just start over there? Why do you guys keep going back to the old country? I know you care about it. I know it's important to you, but take that feeling, take that love that you have for that old country and put it into, combine it with the experience you just had and put it into this new place that you will create and you will make your own, you know?
Yeah, but it just sounds like a lot more work. Like, that's going to get taken from you eventually anyway, from a different person with more authority, even if you go far away.
And I'm a chameleon of a person. I kind of have, I adapt. That's my thing. I change with not only my own new ideals, but also with my environment. And I feel like every time I change, I become better. Therefore, after that old country blocked me out and everybody else seemed to side with that person, I would say clearly either those weren't the people that I want to be making a country with because they sided with someone I thought was so unjust, or I didn't do a good job of making a country that was good. Because if I made a country that was so susceptible to that type of... It was so very easily thwarted. It was so easily corrupted and changed in a second. And everything fell apart. There was only like one or two people in when the election results were announced that were really, really upset. Only one or two people. If I created that space and I allowed all those people in it that weren't even upset about something that I knew was egregious, clearly there was an issue. Clearly, the foundations and the building blocks, something was wrong there. And I can use that experience and I can suss out where the problem was, create a new one where I try to fix that problem. And you know what? Maybe it does change. Maybe it does fall. But I feel like, again, like I said earlier, you know, failure is good. Failure is a learning opportunity.
So would you have done that in Mother, where the failure, though, the you know what? Actually, if you were raised by Mother, I don't think she would kill you. Because the bots didn't kill her on the way back at the vault. So,
probably not.
But you wouldn't know that, is the thing. So would you risk it with a...
I wouldn't create... In Mother, I would... I can't know for certain, but it feels like I would gather as many, because there was that woman in the shipping crate.
Yes, and that's the only other person you found. And your brother. You're holding your brother. That's an important thing.
So I've been told, but I've also been lied to multiple times.
But you also have a newborn baby.
You also have a newborn baby. That's true.
So you need to find something.
If I sussed out the woman and I found out that she was untrustworthy or in otherwise a wrongin, I would probably assess my skills, and I would basically run a cost benefit analysis.
So your skills in this are, so you need tech for a lot of it, but you're a surgeon.
I'm a surgeon?
Yeah, so the lady got something stuck in her from out. She got shot by a bot, and that's how she was banging on the door for medical help. You took out the bullet. You did that. You did it well.
So I'm not like a potato. I'm not like a blob. I'm not a vegetable.
You had tech to do it to help you, and you were guided by tech, but you manipulated it. You're also a bit of an engineer. You haven't had any contact with your old family or anything like that. You've studied human history, not extensively.
So I'm like I can pull things together. Like I'm not a genius or anything, but I have some skills. So
she's really smart.
Okay.
But she doesn't know a lot about practical applications of what she knows, because she needs help from all of the vault tech, and outside of the world it gets a little bit fuzzier. Because like you could theoretically know how to build a shelter, but do you know how to do it actually, like with wood rather than...
I mean, honestly, trial and error at that point. So what I think what I would do in that situation is I would try to... Are there cameras in the facility?
Yes.
Is Mother's seemingly in the facility, it be taken as a given that she is not...
She has sleep times. She goes to bed to recharge her bot.
Oh, okay.
And she's not omniscient.
What I would do is I would run recon. I would run recon on the facility I was in to try to suss out everything in the facility during those sleep times, and that I would escape before the sleep time ended so that she didn't know I was in there. And then I would run in, or not run in, I would try and take any supplies I could, whether that means dismantling tech, whether that means just taking extra supplies, whether that means anything else. And I think I would try to go and forge out my own existence, because I don't think I would, the crux of the thing is, I don't know if I would be able to live with my entire existence dictated by someone else, whether that be the old woman, whether that be Mother, whether that be anything else. I don't know if I could. I feel like I would choose a harder existence because I would rather have a harder time than live dictated by somebody else.
But would you put that over the life of a newborn that you care for deeply? Over the health and safety of your baby brother?
Maybe I would try to live with the old woman, and then depending on how that was, I would make another decision, but I would leave the brother with the old woman.
Really?
Maybe. It depends on how it is. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know how the old woman is. I don't know.
She's kind of mean and stinky.
Stinky. Well, the thing is, the person doesn't
matter.
The person in the movie has been told so many different things and lied to so many different times that I,
like yourself, keep going.
The thing is, I don't know if. So you say the old woman is the only other person in the world except for me and the little brother. Does this person get told that, and by who, and when?
She thinks so, because she was part of a bigger group, but she watched them all die, and she's the last one of that group.
But this person has knows some history, yes? So therefore they would know the geography, therefore
yes.
They know how big the world is. Therefore, they would be able to assess the probability of another human being alive. And I feel like, again, I haven't seen the movie, so my instinct is there is a probability, there's a non-zero chance that there are other people out there.
Well, yeah, a mother's not omniscient, but she is eerily prescient because of her hive mind. So the lady's able to hide from her because all of the bots think she's already dead, so they're not looking. It's kind of like a early John situation. Like, Mother can know if she presses. If she sends her bots out to look for it, she'll find out if she can find it.
Maybe I would play the game then. Maybe I would play Mother. Maybe I would. I feel like. So I am a person who operates on recon, then act. I have to know as many variables in a situation as possible before I feel comfortable acting. Which is why it's really kind of easier to just sit here and be like, in a hypothetical situation, what would you do? And I can be like, well, I feel like I would do this. Because it's a lot harder to know all the variables when the variables are non-existent. Which is why I kind of let myself just talk it dead. I feel like depending on the knowledge level that this person had or that I had in this person's shoes, there would be options that I would take. So one of the options is live with the old lady. One of the options is run off and do it myself. One of the options is play the game. You play Mother. You go back. You pretend to be this. You pretend to be everything that she wants. You behave perfectly. You pull a facade. You go, hey, haha, I'm such a good little child. Woohoo! You know, I'm doing everything.
She tries to do that, and actually, she ends up meeting with the woman a couple of times in secret while she's recovering from the surgery that you did. Mother does end up finding out because she. Like I said, she's eerily prescient. She knows more than you could as a human, but she doesn't know everything. But she knows enough to be able to eventually learn everything if it just takes time. So she ends up catching her through cameras and stuff.
I wonder what would happen if I tried to get closer with Mother then. If I actually tried to learn more about Mother and more about her sentience, more about her AI, more about her code, approaching it from a mechanical standpoint, more about what makes her tick, and about any advantages that would hold for me. I feel like there would be a long period of recon and of trial and error.
Like enough to get your brother not a newborn, so you could take him and he could survive and help.
Exactly. And in that time, I would be able to maybe gather resources from the outside during Mother's sleeping periods. Maybe I would be able to convince Mother to, let me out. Or once in a while.
Or even have Mother leave so you could be alone. I said, or even have Mother leave so you could be alone.
Exactly, yeah. I feel like there's a lot of options that open up when you say my option is to play the game. There's a lot of... It's really funny because a lot of this does fall into what I would consider a category of emotional manipulation, which is funny because we're talking about a goddamn robot.
But the robot has human emotions.
which is incredibly fascinating. And it's like, you know, I find that fascinating. Then we get into, because it's like, you know, well, how?
No, I said the robot is more than human because they have all of human emotions, and they also, but they're not tied to one place like we are. Like, curse this flesh prison kind of stuff doesn't apply to them because they can be in every bot at every single point in time. That's why I said more than human, because they have all of the human psyche. And sure, because of both how vast it is and because it's inorganic in origin, it's a little twisted. She's trying to do the right thing in murdering all of humanity. She's doing the wrong thing for the right reasons.
You see, we're getting into... The more we talk about it, the more I realize I've just gone through all of my... my panic responses. One of them is fight, which is you beat the
murder
shit out of
mother.
One of them is flight, which is you escape. One of them is convince, which is I'm going to sit down with mother and try and tell her that she's wrong. And one of them is
manipulate.
Manipulate, which is literally just I'm gonna do what I think is right in this moment, and I'm gonna use everything at my disposal to survive.
So I really am making this your apocalypse.
You really are. I'll have to find something for you.
It's fine, it's not that real. It's only slightly happening right now as we're making AIs that could eventually do that. Personally, I think
not in my lifetime. And you know what? That's comforting.